This is part three of the podcast for Monday, April 8th, 2019, Theories of Knowledge. So we're talking about truth and knowledge. I think we had a couple of questions about truth. Is there anybody that wanted to opine? Yes, sir. Speak loudly since you're way in the back.
That I was thinking about, we were talking about like the placebo effect and like being psychosomatic, where like our beliefs actually change our brain chemistry. So wouldn't that be an example of a personal belief affecting reality?
Good question. So that's kind of a complicated objection.
Yeah. I don't want to stand behind that notion. It sounded like a fallacy. You know?
So your beliefs can affect reality in I would say that is your beliefs affecting reality in a very specific case having to do with your biochemistry. And it's, how do I want to say this? Your beliefs affect your beliefs are coming from your brain, and your brain has a conscious and subconscious function to it. Your subconscious mind can affect your biochemistry and your autonomic nervous system. And like, for example, and even your conscious mind can, right? So this is there's a mind-body connection. So somebody tells you something that stresses you out can cause your heart to beat fast. Like if someone comes behind you and you feel like a hard object poked in your back and you hear a voice saying, "I have a gun, don't move or you get it," right? Your heart's probably going to start thumping, right? And it might turn out it's just, a friend of yours and he's got like his umbrella, he's poking you in the back or whatever, right? So your belief's totally false. But because you believed it really strongly, it made your heart go really fast. Or if you find out some sad news, like you read that Justin Bieber was stabbed and he's your favorite singer of all time, and a little tear might well up in your good corner of your eye, right? Because that's
it's like chemical reactions in your brain.
Yeah,
it's your brain releasing chemicals that affect your body.
In the same way, stress can kill you, right? So people that have high degrees of stress, stress causes inflammation, and stress is a psychological thing, right? So it's like you're worrying about something, you're expecting something. People have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, right? And so they're like their body's on red alert all the time, and they're expecting something bad to happen, and they can't shut it off. And so those are all. Effects on your physical body that have to do with your beliefs and the mind-body connection. And it's really the brain-body connection. But if I'm hanging around, you have PTSD, and you're like going like this all the time, and you're like all stressed out, maybe I might look at your behavior, and because I have mirror neurons in my brain, I might sort of be sympathetic and react the same way. I might get stressed out. Or people just tend to, because we're sort of herd animals, right? We react to other people around us. So if they're stressed out, we're like, "What's wrong? Why are you acting like that?" But it's not like I can have a belief and it's going to affect reality. Like I believe I have $1 million in my bank account, and all of a sudden it magically appears. Or I can have a belief about you that's not going to affect like what happens to you if I don't tell you about it and I'm not like near you, can't observe my behavior. My belief about you is not going to affect how you are, right? So if I believe you're an alien, you don't turn into an alien. Or if I believe you're a mean person, it doesn't make you a mean person, right? It could be like I see you like walk by in the cafeteria and I say hi and you ignore me. I'm like, "Oh, I think that student doesn't like me." I get really sad or something like that. That doesn't make you into like a mean person that doesn't like your nice professor or whatever. It's a misinterpretation on my part. Beliefs don't really do anything. They can affect your body and your physiology, but they don't affect objective reality. They're essentially subjective, with again the exception that your brain is hooked in with the rest of your body and controls your nervous system and can affect your well-being. If you have lots of angry, stressful, anxiety-producing beliefs. Those can affect your body, but they're not going to affect anything outside of your body, except for through your behavior.
Yeah, I agree with that, but then on that point, that kind of like leads you to metaphysics, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by metaphysics.
Like that you don't affect outer, your consciousness doesn't affect outer phenomenon.
Well, it's happening in my brain, and my brain's part of my body, so I don't know, like, it's not like there's, like, you know, some, like, weird, like, you know, metaphysical vibrations that I'm sending out to the universe that's causing things to happen. I mean, that's like a known, like the psychosomatic effect, like the placebo effect, right? Anytime you do like a new drug, like a drug trial, you have the control group and then you have the placebo group and you give them a sugar pill and you tell them, here's your medication, right? And if that placebo group always does a little bit better, but the placebo group always does a little better. They're the control group. They call it the placebo control group. The experimental group that gets the real drug, if they don't do better than the placebo, then it doesn't do anything. It's a worthless drug. So, but the placebo effect has some effect. But there's nothing metaphysical about the placebo effect. It has to do with the way your brain and your nervous system affects your body. There's nothing metaphysical about it.
Yeah.
If you see my point.
Talking in the sense of that metaphysics does say that your consciousness has an effect.
It depends on what you mean by metaphysics.
Quantum entanglement and like the presence of an observer affecting experiments when it gets down to like nanoparticles.
That's this is for the metaphysics class, I think. I don't think that's an accurate understanding of quantum entanglement. That makes things seem like they're subjective. I'll say like there are weird things that happen in experiments at the microphysical level. Those don't necessarily carry over to like the world of medium-sized material objects, for one thing. At least when it comes down to like, okay, let's suppose like weird things happen with the observer and it, you know, when you're looking at like you know, tiny little particles. But still, like if I believe, no matter how strongly I believe I have $1 million in my bank account, it's not going to magically appear. My belief doesn't determine reality. And if I'm going to be a rational person, I want to make my beliefs match up with the actual world, not expect the world to conform to my beliefs, right? The people that think that just by believing something that makes it true, they either end up in like the, you know, asylums there's people in insane asylums that think that their beliefs determine reality. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the wandering the streets, right? So, but at the very least, you're going to be, you know, you get disappointed when it turns out that reality, you know, kicks you in the teeth and you find out, oh, well, I really believe this really strongly. And then you find out it's otherwise and you can try to deny it. But, you know, the world is what it is. The world won't change to mold itself to your beliefs, except for maybe an indirect way. Like if I believe in myself and I believe I can do anything and I have like, you know, sort of self-confidence, maybe over and above my abilities, maybe I'll do a little better in life, right? But that doesn't mean my belief is affecting my behavior and then I'm actually doing things out in the world. My belief itself isn't really doing anything. It's not affecting external reality. It's affecting me and then I behave in a way that affects external reality. Yeah.
I think within directness and indirectness, there's the, I guess what makes one distinct from another is that directly something you know has happened, or you can be very, very sure logically that you are happening to something. I pick up this pencil, I know what I'm doing. But subconsciously, with indirectness, I think it's more that we're grasping for an answer with metaphysics or something like that. Like, you know, maybe I'm controlling it somehow. Or maybe I'm affecting it in a way that I don't understand like that.
Yeah,
I think that's my subconscious communicating with me.
Yeah, so let me just put it this way. First of all, like, the word metaphysics is sometimes, like, used to describe sort of, like, you know, what used to be called New Age beliefs.
Isn't meta in, like, Latin, doesn't that just mean...
Metaphysics is one of the main branches of philosophy. And it doesn't really have anything to do with like weird esoteric beliefs. It has a popular connotation of being that. But if you take a class like at University of Oregon on metaphysics, you're not going to be doing like past life regressions and tarot cards and, you know, the I Ching or whatever. And it's not going to be meditation. It's all going to be like you're going to be reading Bertrand Russell or talking about like, you know, philosophy of science or something like that, or you'll be talking about free will or, you know, some, so there'll be, or the mind-body connection, or what is consciousness, right? So like Daniel Dennett writes in Metaphysics, but he's an atheist and doesn't believe in supernatural forces at all. Coming back to your thing about the quantum thing, I would maybe suggest this to you. I didn't mean to be dismissive, but people often use quantum physics to try to establish that we create our own reality, or that what's real depends on my beliefs. But I'd say, like, on the definition of truth, either our subjective beliefs determine objective reality or they don't. Right? That's a question. And it's a question of how the objective world is. Either the objective world is such that my beliefs have a direct causal effect on external reality, or they don't. Right? It's one or the other. That's the law of excluded middle. So even if it turned out that my belief alone, without any, you know, intermediary thing happening, will determine external reality, if I really believed, you know, X would happen, without me doing anything about it. If that turned out that could happen, that would be a fact, right? It would be the truth. And my idea that it's all like, you know, psychological states don't determine objective reality directly would be false, right? But that still assumes a correspondence theory of truth. It doesn't establish relativism at all, and doesn't say that just because you believe something that makes it true. There's a difference between I believe X, therefore it is true, then if I believe something strong enough, I will make it come true, right? Those are different beliefs. Let me get you over here, and I don't know, there's a bunch of people. Go ahead again.
But who's to say that, you know, objective reality is any more real than subjective reality? Because when you get down to it, have we ever really experienced objective reality? Because you're, you know, everything that you see around you is actually just something your brain is recreating. It's all biochemistry. It's all happening in your own brain, so... Have we ever really even experienced this thing we call objective reality, or is it all subjective reality? Because it's all our own input device. It's all our own way of processing information that we're that's like coming through our eyes and we feel it. I mean, we don't really entirely experience objective reality.
So you've asked a question, and the question is gives two alternatives. One is that, you know, that there's objective reality and subjective reality, and the other one, this is all subjective reality. It seems that you know, I can ask the question, which one is the case? I mean, it seems like you're asking which is the case. You're asking a question, is it subjective, objective, or maybe there isn't any objective reality? But when you say maybe there isn't any objective reality, it's all subjective, you're making a statement about the way things are, in which case you're assuming there's some objective reality, that it's not all subjective. It's kind of a subtle point here, but if you ask a question, you're looking for an answer. The answer is going to be in terms of the objective world and what is the case or what is true. So even to ask a question is to assume objectivity, because you're looking for an answer in terms of what's actually true as opposed to what people merely believe. Yes?
I think there was another person over there that you
said. Go ahead.
So as we were talking about, like, since we're talking about reality, like, you've probably heard the term pathological lying.
Uh-huh.
And, like, a liar who, like, believes their own lies. Like,
yeah.
That, since we're talking about reality here, it's like, how does that work necessarily? Like, are they confused about what's in touch with reality? Is it a disease?
It sounds like a side issue. They have false beliefs. Just because they believe it doesn't mean it's true.
They believe their own lies.
Yeah.
You believe your own lie, then you don't know you're lying. So I would say that a pathological liar doesn't believe.
Yeah, that's
their
a good
own
question.
Lies.
That's an interesting question in psychology, but I think as far as like the metaphysics, if you have, I mean, just okay, you can have a false belief, right? What is a false belief? It doesn't match up with reality. Okay, then what more needs to be said, right? If false beliefs are possible, then now your question about objective reality is actually more of a question of like what is objective reality, like what is objectively true, which is maybe a question about skepticism. Can I trust my senses? Can I trust my experience? And should I take it as is, or how do I know any of my beliefs are true? And that's a question of knowledge. And actually, I'd like to maybe save that for after class or office hours or something. I want to talk about how do we know any of our experiences are real, and talk about the allegory of the cave. Let's see. Okay, one is a short thing.
Yeah, what do you got? Really quick question. Like, who was the philosopher that stated, like, does all knowledge lie within us or outside of us? Like, do we acquire it or is it innate?
Oh, so that was going to come up with Descartes. Descartes thinks not all. Descartes doesn't think all knowledge is innate, but he thinks there's some innate ideas. Whereas Locke would say there are no innate ideas. That all of our knowledge comes from experience. So that's going to be in. Actually, we're going to talk about that later when we talk about Descartes. But right now, I like to think about how do we know any of our beliefs are true? This is a question, again, a question of knowledge and skepticism about knowledge. Oops. Can somebody turn off the lights in the front here? These things didn't work last time I tried to operate them. Just like shut them off. Shut them all off. There we go.
Imagine prisoners that have spent their entire lives chained deep inside a cave.
Oh, sorry. Pardon me. I wait for this thing to boot up. I gotta do my exit quiz too. Maybe I'll send this around. Just sign your name next to your name and send it on. Okay, wait for the projector to warm up. I'm gonna stop the recording now.